Welcome to Legal Toolkit, bringing you the latest legal trends and business initiatives to help you manage your law firm with your host, Jared Correa. You're listening to Legal Talk Network.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the award-winning Legal Toolkit podcast here on the Legal Talk Network. If you're looking for the engine room, it's at the front of the train. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. If you're a first-time listener, hopefully you'll become a long-time listener. And if your name is Willis Jackson, people may regularly be asking you what you're talking about. As always, I'm your show host, Jared Correa. And in addition to casting this pod, I am the CEO of Red Cave Law Firm Consulting, which offers subscription-based law practice management consulting services for law firms, bar associations, and legal vendors. Check us out at redcavelegal.com. I'm also the COO of Gideon Software, Inc., which offers chatbots, a first-to-market chatbot builder, and predictive analytics created specifically for law firms. Find out more at www.gideon.legal. You can also listen to my other podcast, The Lobbyist, a family travel show I host with my dear wife, Jessica, on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and comment. But here on the Legal Toolkit, we provide you twice each month now with a new tool to add to your own legal toolkit so that your practices will become more and more like best practices. In this episode, we're going to talk about virtual bookkeeping. But before I introduce today's guest, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors, without whom this podcast would not be possible. Nexa, formerly known as AnswerOne, is a leading virtual receptionist and answering service provider for law firms. Learn more by giving them a call at 800-267-9371 or online at www.nexa.com. Scorpion crushes the standard for law firm online marketing with proven campaign strategies to get attorneys better cases from the internet. Partner with Scorpion to get an award-winning website and an ROI-positive marketing programs today. Visit scorpionlegal.com/podcast. TimeSolve is the number one web-based time and billing software for lawyers. Providing solutions since 1999, TimeSolve provides the most comprehensive billing features for law firms, big and small. www.timesolve.com. That's TimeSolv. Leave out the final E. My guest today is Louis Belozny, who is the co-founder and vice president of strategic accounts at BotKeeper, a virtual bookkeeping service. Louis is a graduate of Suffolk University Law School and a former attorney, just like yours truly, who started his career working as a lawyer at Thomas Brady & Associates. No, not that Tom Brady. There, he was regional director of advanced planning and was responsible for strategic development and implementation of advanced planning strategies. He specialized in the execution of estate planning, business planning, and insurance placement for individuals, executives, and business owners. After several years working there, Louis moved on to become the relationship banking officer at Admirals Bank, where he was part of a team that helped bring in over $200 million in deposits. I would give money to Admirals Bank. It sounds really cool. After he did that, he started BotKeeper. So Louis, welcome to the big show.
Hey, Jared. Glad to be on.
This is long overdue. I feel like we should have done years ago.
But you know what? It's our time now.
Yes, it's our time to shine. So let's do it. Fun fact, everyone, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before. I love American Horror Story. I'm a big fan. I think it's a great show. I've seen every episode lately when they've come out on TV rather than waiting for Netflix. And Louis, my friend, since he has great taste, is also an AHS fan. So Louis, because you're the only person I can talk to this about, not my young children, not my wife, what's your favorite season of American Horror Story? Because I feel that says a lot about a person. Mine's Asylum. And then what's your craziest AHS theory for future seasons? And let me just say, before we get into this, spoiler alerts, everyone.
It's a great question. I very much love the show, and I love that every season's got its own thing. But I'd have to say my favorite is Cult.
Oh, wow. That's a controversial choice, my friend. Can you explain yourself?
I know. I just think the writing that went into it, the dialogue, just the extremes on both sides. I just think it was well done start to finish.
Not bad. I think it was a very underrated season. All right. So can I have your craziest fan theory?
I think for next season or I think it's two more seasons, but there's going to be some alien talk and some alien stuff going on. So you heard it here first, aliens and American Horror Story.
Oh, snap. I hope you're right.
But I think this ties back to Asylum, but I think with maybe Kit and some of that alien stuff going on there, I don't think that's the last we saw of it.
Oh, that would be great. I loved how Asylum was kind of like American Horror Story crossed with a little bit of X-Files. So I hope that does come back.
I hope so too.
All right. Can we talk about legal stuff? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. And that's what the sponsors
pay
supposed us to do.
All right.
I think so.
I suppose.
You can drop some Easter eggs in here and there.
All right.
So tell me, you're an expert in this area, virtual bookkeeping. I don't think a lot of attorneys are aware of it, what it is, what it means. So can you kind of give me like the background on what virtual bookkeeping is and how a law firm would use it?
Yeah, I think in use, it really would be no different than hiring your traditional bookkeepers. But I think in practice and in outputs, it's just a much more effective and efficient solution from costs, from analytics, from things getting updated, from things you want to look at. It's just, and it's not even because that's just kind of where technology is today. It's just if you look at bookkeeping and how it's been done, there hasn't been much change to it because, you know, people have been involved, but the processes and things that even bookkeepers are doing, they hate doing. So it's really only a matter of time. And I think, you know, any industry can benefit from virtual bookkeeping.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the advantages you see flowing from virtual bookkeeping for a law firm as opposed to traditional bookkeeping. And maybe you can hit three of them to start with, and then we'll flesh this out a little bit.
Yeah, I think not even specific to lawyers, but any business owner didn't start a business to get into the back office side of things. They wanted to do what they love. So for lawyers, I think it's, you know, solving problems, fixing things proactively versus reacting to things, or even like reacting to stuff. But with that comes billing and invoicing and data entry and how am I categorizing your receipt? And I think there's tons of tools that are out in the market that can help you with one or two or three functions like that. But there's still other stuff that'll fall on your plate. And inevitably, they get a bookkeeper. And so I think the sooner someone can start as a business owner, lawyers, accountants, even other bookkeepers with, you know, a great virtual framework, the less time they spend on the stuff that's not going to drive any revenue, but still provide them the actual insight to run a, you know, successful business.
And so the notion is that lawyers who are using back office software effectively and back office vendors have more ability to run a better business, more ability to market, more revenue. And then once you get more revenue, you can hire more people. I like that theory.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Not bad, right? You guys can use that. That's all right. That's
all right.
A free one.
All right. I got the blessing here. I'm good.
Yeah, you're fine. I know you were in IP law, but you don't have to clear any copyrights with me. Just go ahead.
Perfect. I love it. You know, fun fact, I actually used to work for an IP law firm when I was running through law
school. I saw that on your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough to be an IP lawyer, but I was there.
All right, so let me ask you this then, because I've been asking this about every founder I've had on the show so far. Why did you decide to leave law practice and start a company?
This was much against my parents' notion of what I would be growing up. I just never really wanted to practice. I was always actually really interested on just sort of a legal perspective on how businesses are run, and not because I wanted to do contract work or negotiations or anything like that, but more just from a different lens and traditional MBA route. And so when I graduated law school, I never actually practiced. I kind of had these roles that were encompassing kind of the best of the legal world without sort of the stresses and billables and all that. So I never really wanted to do it. And I've always just been really kind of keen on building something from the bottom up. And I guess serendipitously, just over the years, you know, I tried my hand at a few roles that were sort of traditional, but serendipitously had an opportunity to sync up with my partner Enrico and help build something from the ground up. And I jumped at that opportunity.
Awesome. All right. So we're going to take a quick break now that our finances are about to be in order, and we'll be back shortly with more talk about virtual bookkeeping. But here are some things in the meantime that you should buy. Imagine billing day being the happiest day of the month instead of the day you dread. Nobody went to law school because they love drafting invoices for clients. At TimeSolve, our attorneys save on average over 8 hours a month in billing work. That means more billable time and turning billing day into happy day. Learn more about how to get to your time and billing happy place at TimeSolve.com. That's www.TimeSolve.com. Remember, that's TimeSolve.com. All right, thanks for staying with us through the break. Now that I've finished tidying up the living room, let's get back to Louis Belozny, a bot keeper. We've been talking about podcasting about the advantages attendant upon bookkeeping services, virtual bookkeeping services. So now the living room is clean. Now that my wife's happy, Louis, let's talk about machine learning and AI.
Let's do it.
I think these are concepts that a lot of people don't really understand but are fearful of. So sure. If you can talk everybody off the ledge, how would machine learning AI be used in a virtual bookkeeping service? Partly in order to save time and money, I'm guessing?
Totally. I'm going to throw another one out there. I actually think, you know, for people who aren't afraid of it or are willing to try it out, I actually think it allows you to be more human. And I think with all the technology...
I like this angle. Run with that.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think it's true, right? I think with all the tech and everything that's come up, everyone's just been inundated with data. And no one knows what to do with it. And there's all this talk about it, and it sounds kind of scarier than it is. But in reality, AI isn't, you know, Skynet or anything like that. That's, you know, doing all these super overly complex decisions and like taking over the world. In reality, its use is kind of more process driven, right? So machine learning to use hundreds and hundreds of thousands of data points to help make a decision that you help kind of provide feedback for, robotics process automation to take things that you do consistently day in, day out and take it off your plate so then you can kind of get involved with more, you know, intellectual stuff or things that are more stimulating than just looking at, you know, a receipt and then logging it as meals or something like that. And so I think its use is less scary, but more helpful. So, you know, you as a business owner specifically can get stuck doing the like really mundane rudimentary work that is now off your plate where you can go focus on, you know, relationship management with your clients or things that actually drive more revenue. So its use is really meant to make you more human.
So that's helpful for repetitive tasks. That's helpful for lower level tasks. And in terms of like a virtual bookkeeping service, I imagine that you also have actual human accountants or bookkeepers at some point. So it's a mix is what you're really talking about.
Yeah. But if you look at it from that human perspective, I mean, the cool thing is that bookkeepers can benefit from this because most of their days are spent doing that same work or they're trying to find that entry-level talent that is using that role as a stepping stone. You don't have to worry about that stress of kind of training people who are going to leave in 6 months or a year and actually use that to stay consistent. But totally, I think, you know, it was sort of inevitable for it to get in the bookkeeping space. And I think we're helping kind of pioneer that.
So you've got bookkeepers who are practicing at a higher level than they have before. You've got attorneys and business owners focusing on what they need to do to run a business. And all of that is supported by machine learning.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. So let's talk about another advantage I think that's inherent in virtual bookkeeping services and more software generally. The availability to access more reporting tools and the use of dashboards in software systems. So can you talk a little bit about dashboards, how you use them, and how they're more effective than traditional software models?
Yeah, I mean, I hate Excel sheets. I'm going to go ahead and assume that you do too. Is that correct?
You can say that. Yes, yes. Microsoft is not a sponsor. So let's trash Excel for the next 10 minutes.
I don't want to trash it because I think it's got some great practical applications for its use, but like trying to dissect numbers into like something meaningful is really tough. So I think with the ability to integrate with different softwares and kind of get all that data into one central source and kind of make sense of it, I think is really key from someone who doesn't want to spend time in an Excel sheet or like decipher all these things. So certain things that we can extract from all those different systems and visualize where it's just much more, you know, digestible, right? Versus trying to like figure out how to like sum total an Excel sheet for this number, which may affect this number. But if we just had it in one spot and showed you, you know, yeah, green and red, like great trend, terrible trend. Here's where it was last quarter. Here's where you are this quarter, all with clicks of buttons, right? Way more impactful and just something that didn't really exist before.
Oh, truly. Yeah, absolutely. And Microsoft, if you're listening, if you would like to throw a lot of money at us for this podcast, I will say very nice things about Excel on a regular basis. Can you give me a couple examples of a dashboard that would exist in a bookkeeping software that someone might not be aware of, like off the top of their head, just thinking about this?
Yeah, I think, you know, expenses are kind of the go-to, like a pie chart around where all my expenses flowing. Are they heading towards certain vendors? Are they heading towards travel? Are they towards employees? I think visualization around where expenses are flowing is really impactful. People like that versus just looking at a bank statement and assuming that they have cash. And I think another big one is for, and I think lawyers sort of fall into this, but maybe outstanding invoices. Where is my current cash flow at?
Absolutely. Accounts receivable.
Totally. And that's a big pain point. And they're, you know, purely departments dedicated to that. But I think getting a sense of where your cash is and what's still owed and how long has it been overdue and I think business owners, not just lawyers, but business owners in general are, you know, excited to get work. And then they get really timid or skittish around asking for money for the work. And I just think it's like this funny kind of, you know, it's a human thing for sure. And I could kind of, you and I could rant on, you know, your Costanza mindset or Larry David mindsets all day, but it's just funny that, you know, people do the work and then they feel awkward to ask for getting paid for it. And then that affects cash flow, that affects your ability to take on another project, you know? So it can spiral out of control, but you know, those are just, I think, two kind of big examples of where having the reporting and visualization around that is really, really key.
I know that's a big problem at Vandalay Industries. That's what I've heard.
Yes. Yes.
Among other places.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's not LaTeX specific.
On that note, let's take another break. I don't know how far we want to go down this rabbit hole.
Is Vandalay a sponsor?
Not yet. Not yet, but hopefully. Can you work on that for me?
Yeah.
We might have another couple of sponsors out of this show. It's fantastic.
we're going to call
that's right. So we're going to call this break number two while I go look for my green flannel pajamas as opposed to the red ones. Listen to these additional words from our currently existing sponsors who we love. If you're missing calls, appointments, and potential clients, it's time to work with Nexa Professional. More than just an answering service, Nexa's virtual receptionists are available 24/7 to schedule appointments, qualify leads, respond to emails, integrate with your firm's software, and much, much more. Nexa ensures your clients have the experience they deserve. Give them a call at 800-267-9371 or visit them at nexa.com/podcast for a very special offer. Do you feel like your marketing efforts aren't getting you the high-value cases your firm deserves? For over 15 years, Scorpion has helped thousands of law firms just like yours to attract new cases and to grow their practices. As a Google Premier Partner and winner of Google's Platform Innovator Award, Scorpion has the right resources and technology to aggressively market your law firm and to generate better cases from the internet. For more information, visit scorpionlegal.com/podcast today. Thanks for coming back after yet another break. I hope you're enjoying the show and the Jack Handy style deep thoughts we're rolling through here. Let's get back to our conversation with Louis Blosny, a bookkeeper, who's talking to me about how modern businesses can leverage virtual bookkeeping software. So let's find out more. Let's talk about some lawyer-specific issues that I know come up in terms of using cloud-based software and using virtual services and bookkeepers. Lawyers are very skittish about putting financial data in the cloud because it contains clients' information and lawyers are obligated to protect that client information based on state laws, ethics rules. So they're rightfully skittish in many ways.
Sure.
How can attorneys feel comfortable about this issue when selecting a cloud vendor that offers financial related services?
Yeah, I think if they want to keep it in-house, they sort of have to become their own security expert. And then it's on them to figure out the proper servers. How do we keep everything confidential? Who has access to it? Two-form authentication, all the stuff that they probably don't want to spend time learning and understanding that outsource vendors just have to build businesses on that's inherent, right? Otherwise it wouldn't be a thing. So I think, you know, outsourcing in general has become more and more mainstream. And that's because these companies are building, you know, reputable practices on the fact that, hey, we understand the space, things need to be secure. Let us take care of it for you. So you don't have to worry about an actual old school server room that maybe floods or like makes weird beeping sounds and wires that you have to unplug and plug back in. It makes more sense to do it from that manner than trying to juggle it yourself, right? Like it's just another thing that the business owner has to learn to do and they're not gonna, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And so putting yourself in the shoes of a business owner, like what kind of questions should a business owner be asking a vendor about with respect to data security?
Yeah, I think sort of what they're building things on or if there's certain verticals that they focus on and why is that the case. I think kind of understanding the story of how the company starts is really critical too to make it more human. And then, you know, it's also kind of funny too where if you look at, you know, traditional bookkeepers and security there, most people when they're bringing on a part-time bookkeeper in-house aren't really asking the security questions and I feel like they should. But then at the
yeah, they're
time,
not at all. Like, that's a great point.
Right? Like, and I can tell you what questions to ask, but if you don't understand how it's working, then it's kind of like an empty question. I think what's key is maybe getting perspective from existing users. And so having someone who's worked with worked with a business in the past, currently, you know, good and bad, and see how they respond to just actually helping make that introduction to get that perspective. Because then I think it'll be more real from business owner versus possibly someone in a sales manner, like just talking to you about the stuff that you want to hear. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I think you bring up a great point with like working with a cloud-based vendor versus working like a traditional, let's say, solo person working out of an office. Like the security accessible via a human being working in an office as a solo. If you look at the average solo lawyer out there, like there are so many security loopholes available in a situation like that that just don't sure. exist when you're offloading your security to a larger company that has yep. the money and also the motivation to secure the data that they've got for you and the ability to do that in a way that is totally cloud-based. So you're not getting someone like walking into an office and picking up a document and no one knows where
right.
it's gone.
Right. I mean, I've definitely heard of horror stories of that social engineering where it's, you know, where the room is, you know, how to get access to it, and bam, everything's up for grabs.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Where I think with more cloud-based, especially in the accounting side, you've got different softwares that are running their own security practices and protocols. And so it's nice having this sort of division of not all my information is housed in one spot where if this one place gets breached, I lose everything, but it might be more scattered and sporadic where sure, it's, I guess, inevitable, right? Like people are always going to be hacking, but if there is a breach, it's only a specific segment of data. So it's not, you know, everything up for grabs.
Yeah. And I know that lawyers often look to like other industries to draw conclusions about how they should be running their own business, but you're seeing a rapid uptick of services across industries, right? Even industries where there are security protocols that are similar to law firms.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So let's talk a little bit about another law firm specific topic, which is trust accounting. I think a lot of lawyers, I know a lot of lawyers don't do this very well. So I'm an advocate of offloading at least the manual reconciliation part of this to somebody else and overseeing the process as an attorney, because it's ultimately their responsibility. So how would a virtual bookkeeping service manage a specialized account reconciliation process, like what's required of attorneys in terms of like IOLTA accounting?
Yeah, so IOLTA is always a fun one. And I think the key to understand...
Do you like this question? Do you get this a lot?
I feel like IOLTA is becoming... I mean, it's never not been relevant, but now with sort of the crypto space and IOTA is a thing, I'm going to see more and more confusion between IOLTA and IOTA. And they're completely separate. There should be some legal trust token. Like, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Don't hold your breath.
I know.
Yeah, so Sam, I'm like your average attorney, and I'm like, okay, how do you handle my IOLTA accounts? What is your response?
Yeah, so I think the key to understand with even that is that it's still process-driven. And knowing what the process is or how it's been done in the past and sort of what accounts are in play and who's overseeing it and understanding escrow and that kind of stuff is really, really, really critical. And there are firms that understand that and will be able to do that process. And so I think it's just kind of syncing up with a firm or an agency or, you know, whomever you're kind of bringing in that has that experience versus just knowing that it's a term.
Yeah, that's true. So matching up with the right people, I think, and gaining the experience through them, essentially. Yeah. Okay.
And I think in any good relationship, I think, you know, there should be time spent to see how it's been done, right or wrong. But just to see like, here are those sort of pitfalls or here's what held you back or here's what you didn't get to and actually work through it. And then I think, you know, you can start to flesh out the advantages of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. I think this is a process-driven procedure. I mean, it's relatively straightforward. Lawyers are just not good at math. That's the issue.
You said it.
I'm happy to say it. All right, let me run you through another issue that I see with law firms adopting virtual software or cloud-based software. So a lot of lawyers still want a personal touch. I hear this all the time, mostly in the context of talking to people about like automating marketing. Like, oh, I need a personal touch. I think that's code for I want to continue to use old school communication methods that I understand. So with lawyers, they could potentially want a bookkeeper who's down the street or across the office. So how do you combat that? Like, what would you say to a law firm that values that notion? And why would they want to switch to a virtual bookkeeping service if that's their mindset? How would they get over that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the biggest hurdle. And I don't disagree that having a personal touch is a game changer. And I think on our end is why we like having tech plus people. But I think if you look at the sort of traditional notion of, you know, what the people are doing, what are you really reaching out to them for? Is it just to kind of, you know, be able to walk down the hall or bring them in to see them do work for 30 minutes that you're not spot checking or validating anyway, like just to feel good? So I think that's starting to go away, but I totally get it just from being a human where it is impactful to be able to see someone, talk to them whenever you want. But with just all the sort of, you know, your Skypes, your Zooms of the world, you can do that and not really, I mean, you see it just with kind of companies anyway, just creating and evolving kind of remote cultures. It's still a thing, but not as much as it used to be where you have to come in the office to do this work. It's actually easier to be able to do it at home. You can monitor the tech that they use. You can see what they're up to, all that stuff.
No, absolutely. So it's about managing a distributed workforce as well.
Yeah, right. And you want to be able to kind of capitalize on lower costs, better outputs, more accuracy, all that stuff. And it just becomes harder to do when you're making someone go to a space that they're not traditionally working out of just because you want to see them do the work.
Yeah. And part of this, I think, is that's a big part of it, I think, that it's a comfort level more than anything else. I know someone's working because I can see them working, and kind of banishing that idea from your head is a difficult thing to do. And part of it is like utilizing new school communication methods, right? So you mentioned things like Zoom. I don't know that everybody who's listening to this podcast even knows what Zoom is, but that's a video conferencing software. So part of it is right? Not only just adopting like a bookkeeping software that's virtual, but also being willing to adopt other technology that is more up to date in terms of how people communicate, like in 2019.
Yeah. And there's other tools to use. I think, you know, Skype's probably your kind of most notable one, first mover, but there's tons of great uses for it. And they also can act as a collaboration tool. I mean, Slack's another one, but just getting your teams to actually be almost, you know, they could all be remote, but almost all there at the same time working on projects and just crushing it.
I like that. But no faxes, right? No faxes.
What are those?
All right. Last question. This is a new segment I have on the show. It's called Tweets You Forgot About.
Oh.
During the segment, I read back an old tweet of yours, and you get to comment on
it. Nice.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so ready.
All right, good, because that was largely a rhetorical question, and I was going to do this anyway. Here's your tweet, sir. And I like your Twitter account is awesome, by the way. So do you want to tell people what your Twitter handle is so people can check this out?
Guys, ready for this? It's a super unique twist on me. It's at Louis Belazny.
Nice.
And it's Louis with an E, not an S.
I was going to say. Yeah, let me see if I can spell this right. LOUIEBALASNY.
Correct.
Yes. All right, everybody. All right, here's your tweet. Ready? December 16th, 2017. You wrote, "My hair paid for half of law school." It's a quote from someone who's apparently named SASE, uppercase
yeah.
A. So what I want to know is, who is that? Is that a nickname that you use for yourself? Because you have pretty good lettuce, right? And then how did he or she or you pay for the other half of law school?
Oh, man. We can't pick another one, only because a good chunk of my Twitter feed is me overhearing people say things that when I write it out in one line out of context makes no sense.
Which is why I really enjoyed it.
But yeah, and I've got a bunch others that have come from that. So I don't really know the total story around this. And I wasn't in a scenario to just kind of be like, you know what, let's stop for a second. Like, what the heck are you talking about? So I can't really tell you what that's about, but I heard it during a conversation.
But someone actually said that.
Someone actually said that.
I'm trying to speculate on how someone could pay for law school using their hair. Did they sell their hair? Were they a model? Were they a hair model?
I don't know.
Were they a hand model? I mean, like David Duchovny and Zoolander? I don't know.
I'm a little envious because it's just like, man, I wish my hair would pay for law school.
No, but as I said, like, you got a good head of hair. You haven't got nothing to be ashamed about there.
Thank you.
So, Sassy, if you're out there, please reach out to us at Legal Talk Network and let us know how your hair paid for law school. And then also,
was that a pun?
How the rest of. It wasn't supposed to be a pun.
Lettuce?
But I suppose it is.
Let us know.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Well played. Thank you for bringing it back. So, check out Louis' Twitter feed, it's delightful. And it's things he overhears random people saying in public, which is a great way to do Twitter.
So be careful. I might be around you and you might be tweeted.
Don't say anything in front of him. Just look at his Twitter feed. If you see him, you'll see his picture on the podcast. Walk the other way or be very quiet. On that note, I think we're going to wrap this baby up. We've reached the end of yet another episode of the Legal Toolkit podcast. This was a podcast about virtual bookkeeping. And we've been talking with Louis Belazny of Bot Keeper, who also has a tremendous Twitter feed. Now, I'll be back on future shows with further insights into my soul, the soul of America, and the legal market. If you're feeling nostalgic for my dulcet tones, however, you can check out our entire show archive anytime you want at LegalTalkNetwork.com. So thanks again to Louis Belosny of Bot Keeper for making an appearance as my guest today. Louis is speaking to us live from the Omni Parker House in Boston, and hopefully he's going to go get a role later, a Parker House role, or perhaps even a Boston cream pie, the original Boston cream pie coming from the Omni Parker House.
Maybe even some of the peanuts.
Yes, yes. All right, Louis. So can you tell everybody how they can find out more information about you and about Bot Keeper?
Yeah. Jared, thanks again for having me on the show. I always enjoy conversations with you, and I'm glad we finally did this. So keep me in mind if you want a sequel or a trilogy in the future. I'm more than happy to pop on again. You can check out my Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. Just look for Louis Belosny. And then I think more importantly, you can find more information about Bot Keeper at www.botkeeper.com.
That's easy. Keeping it real. Everybody, BotKeeper, BotKeeper.com. So thanks again. Our guest was Louis Belosny, a Bot Keeper, and we were talking about virtual bookkeeping. Finally, thanks to all of you out there for listening. This has been another episode of the Legal Toolkit Podcast where that just happened. Shake and bake.
Shake and bake.
Thanks for listening to Legal Toolkit, produced by the broadcast professionals at Legal Talk Network. Join host Jared Correa for his next podcast covering the current business trends for law firms. If you'd like more information about today's show, please visit LegalTalkNetwork.com. Subscribe via iTunes and RSS. Find Legal Talk Network on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Or download the free app from Legal Talk Network in Google Play and iTunes. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, Legal Talk Network, its officers, directors, employees, agents, representatives, shareholders, and subsidiaries. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.
The Lunch Hour Legal Marketing Podcast, your resource for the tips and tactical advice you need to grow your business. Plus, keep up with the news and commentary you crave to stay one step ahead. It's hosted by me, Guy Sakalakis.
And me, Conrad Song. Every other week, we break down the issues holding back your marketing strategy and talk about the changes you need to be prepared for. Check out the Lunch Hour Legal Marketing Podcast wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.